Welcome to another edition of the Issues of Life radio show. Join in our conversation today. We want you to be a part of area code 850-994-3747, or you can go to issuesofliferadio.com. Submit your comment, question, concern there.
Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That is a verse out of Proverbs, and I got a feeling, given our topic today, Brother Dewey, we're going to be dealing with Proverbs, at least I am, a whole lot.
Quite a bit, yeah. We sure appreciate our listeners today. Appreciate you tuning in. Trust the Lord to bless you. On the discussion today, we're going to be talking, we're staying on the subject of family affairs, and we're going to be talking about finances. And we've been talking about the communications in marriage, and the reason being, that was the top given reason for divorce, was lack of communication or miscommunication, that type of thing. And so I think we've covered that pretty thoroughly. However, we'll be glad to address it further if anybody wants to call in and ask a question or find some, suggest something there. But today we want to talk a little bit about finances, because that's the number two reason for divorce.
Yes.
Today. And so if finances, communication is the number one reason for divorce and finances is the number two reason, then I think we have enough information. We could offer a little bit of suggestion and help to people who might want to preserve their marriage.
Well, I am a wealth of knowledge over what not to do. I have a lot of experience about what not to do.
Well, I think we came up with that conclusion last week that you and I could probably write a book on what not to do.
So we could just write a big anthology of books called What Not to Do and just go through all these different
all
categories.
All the topics, yeah, that would be good. But, you know, finances, that is very important, you know, how we deal with finances in the home. I'm sure that there's a lot of arguments that go on about it, and a lot of discussion. John, you have a degree in accounting, correct?
Yes.
You have a master's degree in accounting?
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming because you have the accounting degree that you handle the finances in your home, you keep track of everything, or do you assign some of that to your wife?
No, I take care of it.
You take care
of it. I'm just going to leave it at that. Let's just leave it at that. I mean, before surgery, we kind of delegated. We kind of, you know, took care of everything. But since then, I've just taken it over.
You had to do it all, yeah.
Yeah. And things are a lot more accountable now, so.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. You know, I don't know why.
How about you, Paul? Who handled the finances in your home?
Well, for the first, my father-in-law told me, when I asked for his daughter's hand in marriage, he told me, he said, whatever you do, and a lot of people may not like this, he said, but whatever you do, he said, you need to handle the finances in your home. Well, I didn't listen to him. So for the first couple of years, she handled it. And then when I began to question her about some things, and she said, look, I don't even want to do this. I want you to handle it. So from that point on, and those who have known me for a while, such as you have, it's probably not a good idea to let me handle the finances. You know, I mean, you don't give me you give me a stack of credit cards.
Yeah.
There was a time when you would have ended up in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
But we've learned some things, and we've been through some valleys. We've been totally out of debt, totally out of consumer debt, three times in the seven years of our marriage. And we're getting back out of debt again right now. Not much, but I mean too much, you know.
Yeah.
So we've learned some things, and I do handle the finances, but we discussed.
Well, you know how much we've been out of debt in our marriage?
How much?
All of our married life. Out of consumer debt, yeah.
Really?
Consumer debt, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We pay our credit cards off every 30 days. We
mm-hmm.
don't. Now, occasionally, I won't say totally, because there's been occasion. But it usually doesn't last more than 90 days or something like that. I won't let it go further than that. But, you know, in my home now, if my wife, I attribute what we have mostly to my wife.
Frugal.
Yeah. My wife is, what'd you say, frugal?
Frugal.
Yeah, I was going to say tighter than skin on a grape. She is very, very spend conscious. She just is very, very...
Can we tell the cable story on the air? Can we tell the can we tell that story?
I'm not sure.
I
don't know. I think the parties involved are probably listening, and that would stir up old wounds.
Yeah. Just change the name to protect the innocent.
Okay. Well, we don't want
to. I'll go ahead and tell it. That's fine. It's a bit of a sticky point on one end of this thing, but. Years ago, right after we were married.
Years ago.
Right after we were married. That was been about 22 years ago. Most of our listeners, those who've listened for any length of time, know that my wife was married before and her husband passed away. And she has one daughter with our former marriage. And so, but anyway, she had gotten married. The daughter had gotten married. And they were in, I believe, Wisconsin. He was in the Navy and they were in Wisconsin. And they called and had some financial needs. They got in financial trouble. Not trouble, but they had some, you know, it was tight. And they just had, all she asked for was $20. She wanted to borrow $20.
Wow.
And my wife asked her, said, well, do you have cable? And and she didn't get the $20.
That story is on par with Ronnie Doss. With something Ronnie Doss.
Well, I called my wife Little Ronnie on occasion for that reason. Anyway, I told the daughter that she said, next time you need any money, you call me. Call me. Talk to your mother. Just call me. But anyway, she. Now, and I've told the story more than once on the air that how that she was when she was in a previous marriage, or when we first got married. Her and she had some, and I don't want to go into all the detail because she had some very difficult circumstances that she had to deal with as far as in relation to finances. Her previous husband was very wasteful and he spent a lot of money, and there was times that she did without. Considerably, she did without
preacher comforts, not just
she suffered under in some ways in that respect, and but when we got married, I gave her $20, and 3 months later, she still had 18 of it left, and that's no joke. Now that's not exaggeration. Now she's not that way now. She's very she doesn't spend now. She doesn't waste money, but I tell her sometimes I think I've created a monster because she knows how to spend now. But no, she's still very, very frugal. And what we have as far as material possessions is due largely to her ability to be frugal. See, she's not wasteful. We buy our clothes in thrift stores. Her home decor, and those of you who've been in our home, she keeps a very nice home. She keeps it well decorated,
Although you don't invite me over since I had kids.
that's exactly right.
I had drones.
I know your kids. I know how you framed your kids.
Just between you and me, I wouldn't say this on the air, but that's probably a good idea.
But, you know, I started talking about drones, and he just was like, don't know me. You don't know where I live or I'll shoot you. I was like, what?
Yeah,
I'll be shooting that drone, baby.
We passed your house the other day. We went to the Relay for Life. You know, Renita takes part in the Relay for Life in honor of her sister.
Sure.
And we passed your house, and I said, we should just pop in. We should just knock on his door and just all go.
That's fine. It wouldn't be a problem. Especially now since our house is in an upheaval because we don't have any flooring. Our flooring was taken up. It got wet and was taken up. So, yeah, come on over. You can help us move furniture around.
I put you to work.
Oh, like,
trap it on the chair.
On occasion, he'll offer to take us out to eat. He hadn't done that in a while either, by the way. But on occasion, he'll offer to take us out to eat, but he never invites us to his house.
He just all of a sudden.
Lord have mercy. Oh, man. You're just airing all the dirty laundry today.
Handling finances, I mean, if you have any sense at all, you take advice from older people that have been where you're going. You know, and I've talked to Renita, and I've said, okay, once we get out of this, we're not going back into debt. You know, because we've been out of debt 2 or 3 times in 7 years we've been married. You know, but once we get out of this, you know, we can live off what we make as opposed to,
For the most part, I don't know of anybody, there may be occasion, but I don't know of anybody that goes into debt for necessities.
That's true.
You know, I don't know of anyone who, and again, there may be exceptions to the rule. There always are exceptions. But who goes into debt for necessities of life? Food, You know, I mean, we have to have clothing, but do we have to have the clothing we think we need to have? You know, that type of thing. Are we gonna honor the Lord and follow the Lord, or are we gonna follow the Joneses and the Johnsons and the, you know,
one of the ways, one of the
you're not gonna follow us because, like I say, we get our clothes in a thrift store.
one of the ways we make mistakes is if you're fortunate enough to have good credit, you rationalize, because if you have good credit, you can get credit cards with a really low interest rate.
Yep.
So you're like,
Well,
I'm getting a deal. I mean, this interest rate is because of my good credit.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, if you don't need it, you don't need it. You know.
Yeah. And the thing about it is, obtaining and maintaining good credit is using that credit properly.
Yes,
exactly. See, I have good credit. I have excellent credit because I don't use it that much.
Right.
They don't make any money off of me. Credit card companies do not make money off of me. They may get a little bit, but it's not a whole lot. I guarantee you that. Well, and so, again, we're talking about the real essentials of finances in the home. The real starting place on any discussion regarding finances has to be in relation to consumer debt. How are we going to live? Are we going to live owing the state, owing companies, owing banks, you know? For the first time in the history of this country, we have a $3 trillion deficit. Consumer debt is huge. I forgot the numbers on the consumer debt. But
it's huge.
What we are passing on to our children and grandchildren is absolutely unjust. It's wicked and ungodly. Well, and it shows how much we have left the Lord out of our business.
But it really is. I mean, specifically speaking, it really is unbiblical.
Without question.
There are specific verses. And see, I didn't know this up till a few years ago. But I knew that, you know, people would say, well, don't go into debt and all this stuff. But it really, truly is an unbiblical place to be.
Let me take a few minutes. It's going to take a little bit of time. Signal me. We've got 3 minutes. I think I can read this in 3 minutes. It's in chapter 28 of the book of Deuteronomy. And here's the bottom line, and this applies to the nation of Israel, and I'll probably have to wait till we come back off a break, but this chapter 28 is dealing with blessings and curses upon the nation of Israel according to how they obey the Word of God. Now, in principle form, now we're not called on to keep the commandments to go to heaven. That's totally out of the picture here. This is simply talking about the blessings of God and our influence on other nations or other people.
Sure.
And so the first 14 verses deal with the blessings of God on a people who will obey Him. And I think we've seen that for 200 years in America, the United States of America. We were the loaning nation for most of that 200-year period.
We were the head and not the tail.
The head and not the tail. Now all that's flipped around. And why? Because Obama's, Barack Hussein Obama's in the White House? No, that's not the reason. The reason is closer to home. All you have to do is go between your front and back door to find out the reason. The reason is in the church. All you got to do is go between the front and back door of the church to find out the reason. We have left God out of the picture. We're promoting our own agendas, our own nonsense, and we've left God out of the picture.
And see, if you leave God out of your finances, then your finances are ungodly.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
I mean, we think of ungodly as, you know, drinking and smoking and, you know, being a Democrat. No, I'm just kidding. You know, but if you leave God out of your finances, then your finances are, in fact, ungodly.
Well, coming back to why we borrow. We're just kind of touching on the subject of borrowing now. Why do we borrow? It's to borrow. We borrow for the flesh activity.
Sure.
We borrow for the pride of life. Again, who needs Tommy Hilfiger, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you pay double for that little checkered sign on your shirt or on your shoes? We really ought to give some serious thought to where we're going in the area of finances in our homes.
Hey, before we go to break, can I borrow $20?
As long as you're going to take me to lunch.
And on that note, make sure you join in on our conversation, 850-994-3747, or you can go to issuesoflifradio.com.
And we are back. Give us a call discussing finances in relation to the home. Biblical finances is how the way we need to go. You can call us at 994-3747, or you can get in touch with us at issuesofliferadio.com. By the way, the area code on that number is, of course, 850.
Let me read you a verse or two. Actually, it's about 14 verses, so it's going to take a little bit of time. But in Deuteronomy chapter 28, it says this, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt thou shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee, and in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine heart unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord. And they shall be afraid of thee, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, and in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy ground, and the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure in the heaven to give the rain, and thy land in the season, in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them." Now, that's the positive side. I'm not going to read the negative side because it continues on for a number of more verses. But the negative side is the curse that comes by not doing these things. And it's just the reverse. If you want to know the downside, it's just the reverse of what I just read. So the key to a nation is honoring the Lord. And it's been proven in here in the United States of America up until about the last 50 years, it began to change.
And so if you don't do those things, you're kind of cursing yourself, aren't you?
Absolutely. This applies to a nation, but it also applies to an individual.
It's not as though God's up there poking you with a stick, you know, getting a lot of glee out of it. He simply told you, this is the way
here
I
it is.
Operate.
Yeah, here's how it works. If you will do this, here's the reward.
And by the way, the list of rewards covers about every aspect of life. In the city, in the field, going to bed, getting up, you know, coming in, coming out, going out.
Yeah,
it covers about every aspect of life.
And there's another principle that we have to tie into this, and that is that the Lord, that riches, how does that verse go with riches that the Lord provides come without grief?
The Lord,
that's not an exact quote.
The Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow.
So, you know, if you're staying awake at night trying to figure out how to keep what you got, or trying to figure out how to make more, you know, I have to admit that there's been times where I've laid awake at night trying to figure out how to make more money. I have done that. But if that's your common, if that's your everyday experience, you're just trying to figure out how to get more riches, instead of laying awake at night praying for those around you, or laying awake at night, if you're going to pray about finances, that's one thing. But scheming on how to generate more, how to get rich quick, is totally opposite of what we just read. The way to be, to have material wealth, and that doesn't mean you get wealthy, but the way to have your needs met is to honor the Lord.
But you might get wealthy.
It's possible. Yes.
Proverbs 3 says, "If you honor the Lord with all your substance, and with the first fruits increase, your barns will be filled with plenty.
Yeah. Well, and here he says you will lend to many and not borrow from any. So that means, how are you going to lend without having something in the cupboard? You know, how are you going to lend without having something in your safe? You've got to have resources on hand to be able to lend. And so that means that his blessings will provide everything you need plus.
Let me just read a few verses here. It says, the one that we just talked about, wealth gotten by vanity. That means, you know, by emptiness and by hooking and crooking and by hustling. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase.
Yeah. You know, let's talk about that a second. Wealth gotten by vanity. What are some examples of wealth gotten by vanity? What do you think?
Well, winning the lottery.
Used to be winning the lottery.
Playing poker. That's where you were about to go. playing poker. I made a considerable amount of money at one point in my life. Playing poker.
I understand you were pretty good at the poker
yes,
table.
I was
a very analytical person, and
yeah.
I like the story you told me the other day about the truck driver you were at a poker table, and you told him if he kept staying there playing like he was playing, you were going to get all his money. And it's probably true.
And he said, son, I believe you, and shook hands with me and left.
But that's wealth gotten by vanity. And probably my guess is you don't have any of that money you got back in those days. Yeah.
I don't have a penny. I wasted it and by the way, many nights, I would go home to my apartment. I was single. I wasn't saved. I wasn't married. I didn't have children. I would go home to my apartment and cry myself to sleep.
Yeah.
Many nights.
Yeah. So it added sorrow.
Yes.
You got money, but it added sorrow.
Yes.
And so, but the other side of that is, read that verse again, the last half of that.
It says, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but, like many of the Proverbs, there's two sides to it. But he that gathereth by labor shall increase.
You know what I think, and I'm just gonna state it as I believe it. I think that the main problem in most homes today, and a lot of homes, let me just say it that way, is that one or both parties are just flat lazy, and they don't want to work. You know, I find the work ethic that I grew up under. Now, I won't say that I have the best work ethic in the world. My wife puts me to shame. She really does. And but you cannot gain wealth properly without sorrow, without labor, without honest work, an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. You know, these guys, I mean, here we operate the Helping Hand Mission. And just in case our listeners aren't aware, I'm the CEO of the Helping Hand Mission. And we have this operation, and it involves a lot of things. We have 3 thrift stores. We have a warehouse. We bail what we don't sell in our stores in the way of clothing. We bail it and sell it to overseas companies to distribute overseas. And so, what most people that are involved here in this operation don't realize is that I've done all of those things, or things that some of our program guys do now, sweeping the floor and cleaning the toilets and bailing clothes. I used to, when we had a thrift business in New Orleans, I ran the whole, that part of the operation. We would pick up, we'd have to go, we had boxes out, we'd have to go pick up all the garbage that people laid out there. And in an old beat-up van. I've done it all. Every aspect of this type of ministry, I've done it in the past for several years. And so my point simply is this, and I'm not boasting or one way or another. I'm simply saying is to have riches properly, to increase in a proper fashion, you don't do it without labor. And see, you heard the saying, and I'll give it to you in just a second. You heard the old saying that, and I've heard this a lot in the last number of years, that is work smarter, not harder. People say all the time, work smarter, not harder. Well, let me define the biblical definition for that. Working smarter, not harder is you labor. You give an honest day's work for an honest day's pay, and then you pray that the Lord will bless the work of your hands, and you trust Him for better results than you would get naturally.
Well, I knew a fellow that said that. All the time he'd say, I don't work hard, I work smart. Well, in a given day, because he did some work for me, and in a given day, he probably smoked at least 30 minutes of every hour, and he may have worked 15 minutes of every hour.
Yeah.
So that was kind of, and I'm not saying everybody defines it that way.
Right.
I'm not saying that, but that was the way he defined it.
I found that to be mostly an excuse for not working.
Mm-hmm.
Defined it. I can't believe I just said that on the air. Look, let me read you another verse. Proverbs 14:23. This goes along with what you're saying. In all labor, there is profit.
There is profit.
Now that doesn't necessarily mean monetary profit.
Correct.
Not necessarily.
Correct. That's right. That is correct.
But it says in 14:23 of Proverbs, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips leadeth only to penury.
And that word penury means extreme poverty.
Yes, sir.
It don't mean just poverty. It means extreme poverty. So all you gabbers out there who rather spend your time running your mouth and listen to somebody else run theirs, you might want to give some consideration to that verse.
It's like what you said about those fellows in Acts 16 on Mars Hill. They were discussing all these deep philosophical things. And Brother Dewey used to say, those fellows need to go get gainful employment.
And I still believe that as well.
And that has all, every time I never read that passage without thinking about that.
I'll tell you this, being busy, and one of my worst things in my own life that hinders me probably more than anything else is inactivity. When I get inactive, my mind goes in directions it ought not go. And being busy might be laboring in prayer.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
Being busy might be laboring and ministering to others, you know, serving others, helping others. Go. Being busy might not be out doing a job. It might be over helping your neighbor fix his roof,
yes.
You know. So, that we, you know, these are the things that we're trying to get across here in the matter of finances in the home. And if you'll notice everything that's involved in putting God first and serving, in fact, the other verse, the New Testament side of this verse in Deuteronomy would be, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Yeah, and by the way, all the things he listed, he said they would be added.
Yeah.
So you're not giving anything up. But I want to read a verse that we can talk about when we come off the break. Let me see if I can find. Oh, yeah. Much food is in the tillage of the poor. So there's plenty of food there, so why are they poor?
Right.
If there's so much food there, why are the next part of the verse tells you much food is Proverbs 13:23. Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want or lack of judgment.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that know how, they know how to work and make money, but they can't hold on to any of it.
Yeah.
And maybe we can talk about that whenever we come back.
All right. Sure.
It's the Issues of Life Radio Show right here on WTGF. Join in our conversation. Maybe you have experience or something that you want
Absolutely.
To share with us. Area code 850-994-3747. Or you can go to issuesoflifradio.com.
And we are back. Give us a call at 994-3747. We would love to hear your input. If you don't call us, we got to keep on talking. We're on the air, so we got to keep going with it.
Yeah. Well, again, we've got some. It's not that we don't have anything to say now. We've got plenty to say.
We don't ever.
That one of the things that fellow accused us of is liking to hear ourselves talk. Well, we don't have any shortage to say of anything to say because we've got the Word of God on what we.
When I open my Bible, I can
with.
Go.
Absolutely. So, and it's important. I mean, it's not that we're not. I don't make light of it. These things that we're talking about relating to the home. If the top two things for divorce are communications number one and finances number two, I think we ought to kind of pay a little attention to them, don't you?
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. I think that we ought to give it some serious thought. What was that verse you before we went to break?
By the way, you can also send us your comments at issuesofliferadio.com. But the verse was, there is much food is in the tillage of the poor. So how can they have? How can there be much food in their tillage, but yet they be poor? That's the question.
Yeah. Well, what was the other side of that verse?
The other side was, but there is that is destroyed for want or lack of judgment.
Well, you know, in today's world, I think I know some people who, due to lack of education, maybe they dropped out of high school, or you know they. They have a difficult time getting above minimum wage job. Mm-hmm. A person on minimum wage job today is going to have a difficult time. That mean they can't make it, you know, but they are going to have a difficult time. Much food is in the tillage of the poor.
Much food is in the tillage of the poor. But look at what another verse says. Verse 12:11 says, "He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread."
Yeah.
But he that followeth after vain persons is void of understanding. So it must be where you're going out doing the work, but you're following after vain persons. It could be that these vain persons are causing you to spend all your money. Because you can make money, but you don't have any judgment when it comes to handling money.
Well, and I know people who I say this on a regular basis to employees and others. It doesn't matter how much you make. It's not how much you make that counts. It's how much you spend. If you make it, you can make $1 million a week. But if you spend $1,001,000 a week, you're going to be broke.
Yeah.
And there's just no, I mean, you say, well, that can't happen. Well, I know people who make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
I know people who live, and I've seen on some commentaries or different programs, and I've heard, met people who live a high lifestyle. They have nice homes. They have two or three nice cars. They have boats. They have all of these things. But they're broke. Absolutely broke. They're up to they're in hock for all of these toys that they possess.
Yeah.
And at any given moment, they're worried about somebody coming and taking them. Well, that's no life. Why would anybody want to live such a life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we would simply follow principles of Scripture, seek the Lord first, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. Now, that doesn't mean that you sit around and run your mouth all day. I mean,
verses about labor. You know, we just read those verses about labor.
Talking about labor. It doesn't mean you don't work. And it doesn't mean that you can go and... And I'm afraid we've got a whole a system today that promotes laziness and goes contrary to some of these verses that we've read. And the reason people are having troubles financially and having fights in the home over finances is because we've left out scriptural principles.
Well, you know, we could, what about these fellows that read their Bible all day so they don't have to go to work? You know,
well, there's nothing spiritual about that as far as I'm concerned. I mean,
I don't know if you want to jump in the middle of that.
I'm for jumping right in the middle of it. I don't mind the flack.
But, I mean, you know, we talked about these verses about labor. But there also has to be, it seems to me, there has to be a combination, because we haven't got to charity yet. There has to be a combination of labor, judgment, and charity.
Yeah, without question, yeah. Well, see, and you just hit on one of my irritating points there about...
I knew that.
About people being spiritual, too spiritual to go to work.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what I think about that in two words. Or is that a compound word? Hogwash. You know.
Well, it could either be hyphenated or not.
Yeah, I was like, throw a hyphen in there.
That's one of my dad's words. Hogwash.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what I think about it. You know, you don't. If you're not working at something, if you're not laboring, now you may be laboring in the Word of God. The Bible does say that those who labor in the Word of God, in prayer, are worthy of double honor. And that means financial recompense.
But that is when the church or the people that have the money, whoever it is, when they say, this person has such a good testimony.
Exactly.
And this person is so consistent and so godly that we deem them necessary in this operation enough to pay them.
Yeah.
You know, to study or to preach or teach or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, and by the way, sitting in your office playing free sale, and I won't say I had never done that, is not part of your labor responsibility.
Yeah. Well, you know, this goes along with Proverbs 12:27. We need to get to, I'm going to get to charity in a minute, but 12:27 says, "The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious." You know, that has to do with taking care of... I mean, back in those days when this was written, if you killed a deer and you didn't dress it immediately, it would rot. You know, but the slothful man, maybe he just tossed it aside. He doesn't really care about what he, you know, take care of what, you know, because now, I mean, we don't have We don't do that.
But I grew up, I lived off of game when I grew up. We basically, our home, my stepfather was in the Air Force, so we had other things. We shopped at the commissary, but we always had a large chest-type freezer full of wild game, deer, squirrels, rabbits, fish, always. It was constantly in our home. And we hunted. We hunted and fished on a regular basis. I can tell you this, that if I would have, if I'd have killed something and just left it laying there, I'd have been, my hide would have been one tanned. I can tell you that. They'd have wore me out. My dad would have beat me half to death if I'd have done something like that. Because that's just, that was his attitude. Well, and that's where that comes in. You don't treat your food lightly. You don't treat what God's provided for you lightly.
Well, I can take you through my transcripts and show you all the classes that I paid for with my own money, because I got an A in every one of them. The classes that I was paying for. Mm-hmm. I was there. I was on time. I didn't skip. We don't have. I teach my children, take care of what you own, take care of what's yours. Somebody spent money on this. Also, so we've talked about the importance of labor. We've talked about the importance of judgment, and of course, and there's a lot that could be said about slothfulness, because of course that has to do with not wanting to labor. But there's also a lot to say about charity. If you go to Proverbs 11, and you look at verse 24, it says, "There is that scattereth, yet increases." That doesn't make any sense.
Not on the natural level.
How are you going to increase if you're scattering it?
Right.
There is that scattereth, yet increases, and there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. There's nothing wrong with withholding some. There's nothing wrong. I mean, you got to pay your light bill. You got to pay your water bill. You can't give all your money away. In other words, you can't give of yourself to the point that your family is in jeopardy.
Correct.
But if you withhold more than his meat, if you withhold more than his fit, if you withhold more than what is appropriate, then stingy people generally, even if they amass a fortune, they're not happy people.
Yeah. Well, I think the scriptural example of that would be Nabal. The individual that when David was running from Saul in the wilderness, and this man was wealthy, he had gathered up a lot of wealth, and David sent to him for help, and if I understand the scriptures correctly, that he was obligated to give him that help.
Yes, sir.
And
yes,
sir. He basically sent back, "Who is David?" And all these people are fleeing the king. Who is he that I need to take care of? Well, David was going to kill him. He told his men to line up. Get your sword on, get your armor. We're going to take care of this deal. He was going to get him, and his wife brought the goods out that David had requested.
Yeah,
so
nothing like a good wife.
Yeah, but he was being too stingy, too tight, is a dangerous thing.
The next verse says, "The liberal soul shall be made fat. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself." So there's certainly people that manage their money properly, people that manage their money in a biblical way, like we've talked about. There's going to be some labor involved. There's going to be some judgment involved. That they're going to make sure not to be lazy. But they're also, we have to get, like you said, on the natural level, it doesn't make sense. But you have to give.
Can I say this? If you're always on the receiving end of giving, you're on the wrong end.
Yes, sir.
It's better to give than to receive. So if you're always looking, and I'm afraid, and I've been in church work for over 40 years, and I've seen a very dangerous thing that in the sense that we've created an environment where people look to others to take care of their needs. the first place we ought to look to take care of our needs is, of course, to the Lord. But on a natural level, we ought to look to our own strength that God's given us. That's of the Lord. Now, if He's given you a good mind, well, how can I use that good mind to obtain what my family needs? Or how can I use my physical strength to obtain what my family needs? See, that's the first place we ought to look. And even in the ministry, you know, a person in a ministry such as the Apostle Paul, he was in mission work. Well, we have a system today. Different churches, different denominations do it differently. In the independent Baptist circles, we go as a missionary from church to church and present our field, and churches make a determination if they want to support that ministry or not. We have a support-based type ministry. Well, the first thing we ought to do, though, is be able to generate income on our own in order to just be responsible. I think the Apostle Paul made tents not so much to generate income as to set the right example to others that he wasn't lazy.
Well, you know, he had a lot of people with him at times. He had several people with him at times. Those people had to be provided for. And there was a time when the only church that was helping him was the church in Philippi.
That's right. Yeah.
But at the same time, whenever the churches, I think it was in Colossians or Romans, he did tell those churches, you know, we've given you spiritual things, so you're basically obligated, if you want to be right, to give us carnal things.
Sure.
But there's got to be a balance, what you're saying.
That's really the bottom line. And I think when we come back, we need to talk about that balance. And we need to bring everything we've talked about today back around to how to have a proper balance in this thing. Welcome back. You've joined the Issues of Life broadcast. We're glad you joined us today. As we enter into our final segment of the program today, we've been talking about finances in a general fashion. We've kind of touched on a lot of different things related to financing and finances. And our application, though, is for the home. And what's got us on this topic is the fact of the high numbers of divorces that blame finances as the problem. And, you know, when people get into a divorce, they complain about all kinds of things. And there's probably no home that doesn't have some type of financial issues. You know, I was in a church many years ago, and there was after a services, I had preached that night, and I was staying in the pastor's home. And his wife was trying to pay the bill. She was trying to figure out how to pay the bill. She was stressing out over it, and he and I were sitting there fellowshipping, and I looked over at her. I kept glancing over, and I saw how stressed she was over trying to pay the bills, trying to borrow from Peter to pay Paul and make sure that everything got taken care of. And somehow he drew me into a conversation about their situation of her doing the finance. I said, well, and I was a single man at the time. I said, well, if you want my opinion, she don't need to be doing them anyway. You know, she's obviously stressing over it. You're the one that's the head of the home. You ought to be handling that. Now, and I won't say that ought to be the case in every home. I mean, sometimes a woman's can work better at it. But if the wife is stressing over it, it's the man ought to take the leadership in that thing and make sure they're taken care of. When I said that, he just simply reached over across the table, drew all that stuff over to him, and he said, well, I got it. As far as I know, he had it from then on. But the point being, we don't need to let those types of things cause division between a husband and wife. You know, we ought to consider one another in love. And we ought to make sure that things are managed properly, you know. And, hey, listen, I've made mistakes in finances. I've made mistakes and most of the times where I've made mistakes and where I've lost money, it's been because I didn't follow these principles that we're talking about today. If you will follow the principles that we're talking about today, you will come out right, without question.
And like you said, you know, we've talked about, you know, specific points such as labor. You know, you need to labor. You need to work. I mean, if you offer, because I mean, and I'm in a wheelchair. I mean, I can't do manual labor in the conventional sense of the word. What I try to do is when I need something done, I try to find somebody who needs the work, somebody who needs the money, who I can trust, and pay them a good wage to get it done. of course, I try to make sure I labor in other areas with my mind, right, and studying and being ready to teach and teaching the Bible college and things of that nature. But so there needs to be labor, but there also needs to be a balance, because you don't labor to the point that you work 90 hours a week, right, and never see,
exactly,
your family.
You sacrifice, right.
You know, you don't ever see your family. You can't be the spiritual leader in your home, you know, because you're always working. So, but like you said, there's got to be a balance. Also, when it comes to judgment, the aspect of judgment to do with finances, that's where, you know, credit cards come in and consumer debt comes in. And, you know, if you're going to go buy a house, the best interest rate and all those sorts of things, and how the payment's going to be. And, you know, the judgment has to do with how much to save, because... Right. If you're not saving money, you're not doing anything else right, probably.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of the first step.
Well, there was a time in my life to where I live by this philosophy. I'm living by faith, you know. And in Bible college, the big joke was, well, my wife's working while I live, so I can live by faith.
Well, let me read you Proverbs 20:13-22. A good man leaveth an inheritance.
Yes, sir.
To his children.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we always say, well, that's not money, that's the gospel. Well, the gospel's certainly important.
Yeah.
The gospel
certainly.
But the Bible says,
but that's not talking about the gospel. That's talking about money.
It says a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children.
Yeah. Well, I guess I can't be classified as a good man, because I told my grandkids I'm going to spend their inheritance. No. You know, now, again, we have two grand boys, I think it's admirable to plan to leave them something.
Sure,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, at the same time, I plan to leave them something, but I plan to instill in them the need to use what you get wisely and to focus on the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, this came, if I have anything to leave them, it will be because I fulfill, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That has to enter in somewhere. And if I gave them just money without passing that on to them as well, then sure, I wouldn't be doing them any favors by leaving them an inheritance.
Now, because we have, maybe we can cover this again next week, because we haven't really got to this part.
Yeah, we hadn't even really started in this subject thoroughly yet.
But how does one honor the Lord with their, what is the most effective way to honor God with your finances?
Well, you can't, the starting place is tithing.
Yeah, so through a local church.
The beginning place is tithing, and tithing belongs in the storehouse. And, of course, we know the storehouse in the New Testament, according to 1 Corinthians 16, is the local church.
So, and what you taught me was you begin to give when you pay. You don't give a tithe, you pay a tithe.
Pay your tithes, that's right.
You begin to give.
Belongs to the
Lord.
Yeah. And offerings belong to the Lord as well. You see, what most people don't comprehend today is that the nation of Israel, if you figured up all of the things that they were required to give, it would have probably come out to about a third of their income. See? And so, you know, and if the Word of God is true, and it is, then just simply obeying the Word of God is going to bring back more than what we're going to be able to spend anyway.
Every time.
It always, always, always works. And so if we just follow God's program, it would handle the financial situation.
And see, I don't take away from the church, so I have more money.
Right.
I cut back spending somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
But I don't take away from God's church, because the local assembly is the manifestation of God's church here on earth. You know, we are to join a local assembly, give of our time, give of our talent, give of our money, you know, to honor the Lord through that local assembly. So I don't take away from the church so that, you know, Paul and Renita will have more money.
Right.
That's not the way it works.
The circumstances of life are of such a nature that they change. I mean, life is changing all the time. And you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Mm-hmm. To plan inordinately without consideration of the Lord, number one, and without consideration of the changing element of life, will get you into trouble real quick. And back years ago, I was in a mission work in New Orleans, and my circumstances changed very quickly. I had a number of workers, and things happened that they all left all at once. And I had all this property that was there that we had for housing for them. And all of a sudden, you know, and I started figuring out, trying to figure out what I was going to do to make to stay afloat. And in doing so, I consulted with my accountant, and he said, well, you could cut back over here on this area of money you're giving over here to the church, and you could cut back on your missionary giving over here, these missionaries you're giving to. And I said, no, I said, I won't be doing that. I said, I'll cut back on bread if that's where I have to cut back, but I'm not going to be cutting back on tithing, and I'm not going to be cutting back on what my missionary support. I said, if I did that, that would sure enough get me in financial trouble. So I worked on that thing for a while, and I finally got it to where it would work. I saw where it would work. I didn't have near what I had before as far as ability to work with it, but I did that. I cut back in every area but the area of giving, and God blessed. It wasn't long. We were on top again, and I just attribute it totally to following biblical principles. It works all the time.
Well, there have been businesses who flourished because, and by the way, there have been a lot of businesses that have flourished that weren't godly at all.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, so.
But I guarantee you, those owners of those businesses lay up at night wondering about where they're going, how they're going to keep it, or where they're going to get more.
You think of that fellow? I can't remember his name, but he invented or he built earth moving equipment.
Letourneau, R.G. Letourneau.
And by the time he was done, he was given
90%.
90% of his.
He started out
giving
10 and ended up giving 90, and said that he had more when he was given 90. He kept more than he had than he did when he was given 10.
Yes, sir. So, you know, so if I will take care of the church, if I'll do my part to take care of the church, then God will take care of me.
Yeah. Now, I have to say this. I've been in some churches recently that I wouldn't want to give my money to.
Well, that's why you're doing the wrong
thing. In fact, I visited a church recently that I gave a dollar to, and I wish I hadn't have. But I'm kind of tongue in cheek with that, but there's some churches you don't want to give your money to. You want to, but here's the thing. You say, well, what do I do? Find you a church you can give money to. You find you a church you do have confidence in. Find you a church where the Word of God's preached, the gospel is emphasized, and the last command of Christ is the first order of that church.
Yes. Find you a church where the old King James Bible is taught. The gospel is preached, Christ is magnified, and just go to work.
You know, I was just thinking about what I said, and then what you came and followed on the heels of saying, and how some people out there would perceive that. You know, do you realize that we are considered to be old-fashioned? Do you realize that we are considered, in some circles, we're even considered to be fanatical, making statements like we've just made here today on this program? But here's the thing. It's proven true for over 200 years in this country.
Mm-hmm.
It's proven true practically, personally in my life. And those who would criticize us probably need to check up their bank accounts and they check up how their financial situation is in their own house.
When people were living by what we, and this is off topic a little bit, when people were living by what we just said, you didn't have kids crying themselves to sleep at night because they didn't know what sex they wanted to be.
Yeah.
You didn't have problem with teen pregnancy. You didn't have problem with teen drug use. You didn't have problem with schools getting... I'm not saying it never happened, but it wasn't an epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't
That's
have
correct.
Problems with schools getting shot up.
Correct.
When there was prayer in schools and people stood on the old King James Bible.
Right.
Not this new stuff that, where they
exactly.
mess all the translations up.
Right.
You know, so you didn't have trouble with, you know, patricide on a mass scale with children killing their parents and doing
exactly.
all these horrible things.
Yeah.
You just didn't have these issues, so something was working.
Something was definitely working.
Back in the dark age.
Yeah, absolutely.
Quote unquote,
you know, it's amazing to me, and this again, since we're off point and we're about to wrap it up, I'm amazed. Sometimes when I go out of town to take a little mini vacation, I'll visit a church, and I try to visit most of the time something outside of what I'm accustomed to. And I have visited some places, and I always get intrigued by when you're in a Sunday school class and everybody's got a different translation, and they're all trying to figure out what it's saying, what Bible means through these different translations.
Some of those translations don't even have the verse you're talking about.
Yeah,
the whole verse
right.
is gone.
They've never, every time I've been in a class like that, they never come up with the truth. They never come up with the right answer. So something's out of whack somewhere, and I believe we ought to put it back in whack, and we ought to start individually. You and I ought to start making sure our finances are right. We ought to start making our home right. We ought to work on it and influence as many people as we can to do the same.
So we'll get back into this next week. Keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Lord willing, we'll be here at this same time next week.
God bless you.